Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Coming up, floods, tornadoes, and excessive heat in the nation, putting millions at risk.
Drink water, stay in the shade. If you don't need to be out here, stay inside.
The FDA approves the nation's first over-the-counter birth control pill.
I think it's a really big deal, yeah.
In the Kaleidoscope with Allison Keyes segment, breaking down the disturbing problem of coercive control.
It's regulating other people's emotions. It's regulating other people's choices. It's regulating their actions.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. Extreme weather is continuing to sweep the nation, putting scores of millions at risk, while scientists point the finger at climate change. But no matter the cause, everything from torrential flooding to tornadoes to horrific heat is making people miserable. We begin our team coverage with CBS's Jim Crisula.
More than 111 million Americans are under extreme heat alerts. Parts of Arizona and Texas have had triple-digit heat every day this month, with no end in sight. Susie Witt lives in steamy Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yep, another scorcher. I heard we're going to have hot weather 7 days.
Michael Cummins owns a lawn care business in Charlotte, North Carolina.
These conditions are pretty rough, pretty hot out here. It's really humid more than anything. It wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't so humid.
Weekend temperatures in Death Valley, California are expected to top out at nearly 130 degrees. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Those temperatures in California have firefighters on high alert.
Californians are being warned. This weekend will bring the hottest weather of the year, with desert areas expected to reach a scorching 120 degrees. The sweltering forecast also comes with the serious threat of catastrophic wildfires that thrive in these conditions.
This weekend's heat wave is something that's on all firemen's minds right now. We can have brush fires any day just because it is so hot.
Tanner Renz has been fighting fires in California for more than a decade. He says this year there's even more fuel for the flames because all the vegetation that grew after an especially wet winter is turning into hot, dry brush.
We have so much grass. It dries extremely fast and it carries fire extremely well.
Firefighters say that, along with the unprecedented temps and stronger winds, mean the fires are more aggressive than ever before. 2020 saw the worst wildfires in the state's modern history. More than 4.2 million acres burned.
Fires are getting larger quicker, and that's typical for a heat wave like this. I think we're going to have more acreage burned this year. It's concerning through the entire county and the entire state.
The rise in temperature is causing dry patches across the state. Officials do their best for brush clearance, but the amount currently drying out is more than usual and difficult to maintain. Donya Backus, CBS News, Santa Clarita, California.
On Thursday in central Mississippi, more than a foot of rain fell in just 4 hours. And earlier this week, several tornadoes touched down just outside of Chicago.
Some people needed to be rescued from their homes and their cars. The Winston County Sheriff's Department said it saved at least four drivers. No deaths or serious injuries have been reported so far. And across a third of the country, it was another day of record sweltering heat. Near Chicago's O'Hare Airport, a tornado touched down Wednesday, sending thousands of passengers scrambling for shelter and canceling hundreds of flights. Residents are cleaning up after several other suspected twisters tore through nearby communities, damaging homes and uprooting trees. In McCook, Illinois, a storm struck Skyline Motel.
Six rooms are completely, the roof is completely gone.
While owner Brian Patel was at a movie theater.
Seems like impossible mission I have in my hand right now.
Fortunately, the guests were gone.
Must be very difficult.
It's a family business. My kids, they born here, they grew up here. It's hard to see. It's got destroyed.
Patel says he will rebuild, as will residents here in Countryside, Illinois. Roxana Saberi, CBS News, Countryside, Illinois.
The weather has been so severe that some are saying it's like being in a disaster movie. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson agrees.
Yeah, it certainly does. And when it comes to everything, the temperature warming globally has a lot to do with it. The warmer air temperature is, the more moisture it can hold. And as a result, you get these incredible sort of rain bomb events. That's what we saw up in Vermont, where we had tropical moisture making its way up, even though there wasn't a tropical storm, and raining at a rate and an intensity and a total amount of rain that we have not seen even with the worst tropical storms in some part of the state. So that is really the concern now, is as the climate warms, the amount of moisture is fixed, but how much can come at any individual point increases.
And the oceans around the globe are also heating up in a terrifying way.
Yeah, the oceans really seem to be on fire at this point. We're seeing not only high ocean temperatures in the Pacific, that's the area where we're seeing the El Nino develop, but we're also seeing it in large parts of the Atlantic, where water temperatures in the middle of the ocean are several degrees warmer than they should be. But in the area around South Florida, we're seeing a 98-degree water temperature in the Everglades. That's an incredible number. I've never seen anything like that. And the real problem is, A, ecologically, the marine ecosystem is not used to water temperatures like that. Coral certainly can't survive in temperatures that warm. But should there be a tropical system that goes over water of that kind of warmth, it will be the turbo on top of the premium fuel. It is a recipe for a really devastating outcome should a tropical system move through like a tropical storm or a hurricane.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson. The excessive heat is especially dangerous for children, the elderly, and the unhoused. In Texas, a group of outreach workers is out caring for those without shelter in conditions that are most difficult for those they serve. KENS-TV's Alicia Niavis.
We know what it's like to stay at Haven. We know what it's like to be out here.
Heather Clemens and Jack Bolgren.
Come back down. Commerce.
Are checking in.
There's Christine.
There's Christopher.
On those who often get overlooked.
Are you hot?
Yeah.
The duo serves as members of the outreach team for Christian Assistance Ministry.
You want a water?
Known to many as CAM.
One of the very best parts of our day is to get out here and do this.
For the San Antonians they're protecting.
I'm going to put some water on this thing.
Cooling centers may not be an option.
They may suffer from paranoid schizophrenia. They may be struggling with their own other mental health issues.
So CAM goes to them.
Kevin, can I put this around your neck?
Dude.
That
was the look that Jack had.
That's
when
I had too when I got mine.
The scorching heat creates an invisible enemy.
It causes distress. It can exacerbate mental health issues and substance abuse issues. They came over and that person had to have Narcan administered to them. That started about Monday or Tuesday, and then we've had several cases since then.
With these helpers, the end goal is surviving, healing, and thriving.
I love you too.
Coming up, actors join an ongoing writer's strike. That's next on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Say goodbye to performance-robbing engine deposits with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Hate to break it to you, but lower-grade fuel can leave deposits in your engine that build up over time and leave your engine's performance severely lacking. Thankfully, Shell V-Power Nitro Plus removes up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits with continuous use in gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors. Download the Shell app today to find your nearest Shell station and rejuvenate your engine with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel up at Shell.
on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
I'm Allison Keyes. A game changer for reproductive health care as the FDA approves the first over-the-counter birth control pill in the nation, easing access for women and girls. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
The daily pill called O-Pill, which has been available in this country by prescription for 50 years, could be on store shelves without a prescription by early next year.
How big of a deal is this?
I think it's a really big deal, yeah.
Young women.
Dr. Pamela Behrens is an OBGYN and professor at UT Health Houston.
I think having access to birth control is really important for women, and this is another way to get easier access.
More than three quarters of U.S. women under age 50 in a recent survey said they wanted birth control pills available without a prescription if deemed safe and effective. They're already available over the counter in more than 100 countries. The move was opposed by the Catholic Medical Association.
The medication should not be over the counter. I think a doctor needs to be counseling and discussing this with patients if that's what the patient is choosing.
The approval comes amid increased focus on birth control since last year's overturning of Roe v. Wade. The FDA reports of the more than 6 million pregnancies in the U.S. each year, almost half are unintended. O-pill contains the hormone progestin and must be taken at the same time every day to be effective. Common side effects are irregular bleeding, headaches, dizziness, and nausea, as with many birth control pills.
This is a very safe option. It may not be the perfect option for many people.
French drug maker Perrigo hasn't announced a price for the pills, which are sold in 28-day packs, but says it will make them affordable and provide O-pill at no cost to those who can't pay.
The pill will be available beyond pharmacies like this. You'll be able to get them at convenience stores, grocery stores, even online. The FDA says they will be available to anyone of reproductive age without parental approval. Janet Shamlian, CBS News, Houston.
This as Republicans are focusing on abortion as GOP lawmakers take aim at Defense Department policies.
Republicans successfully added an amendment banning the Pentagon from covering travel expenses for service members seeking abortions to a bill funding the military.
Doesn't matter what position you stand when it comes to abortion, when the one defining part that most all Americans believed, you can support it or you can oppose it, but don't use tax dollars on it.
Then Friday, the GOP-controlled House passed the Defense Authorization Act, mostly along party lines. The bill typically wins large bipartisan support.
The far right hijacked this, hijacked our national security, and this makes our country less secure, less safe, and it's an insult to all of our women in uniform, so I'm a no.
On the other side of Capitol Hill, Senator Tommy Tuberville has single-handedly blocked the Senate confirmation of more than 250 senior military officers because of Pentagon abortion policies. President Biden slammed Tuberville Thursday while traveling in Europe.
I'd be willing to talk to him if I thought there was any possibility of him changing this ridiculous position he has. He's jeopardizing U.S. security.
Abortion is also a key focus for the candidates hoping to win the GOP's presidential nomination. A majority of the candidates attending an evangelical forum in Iowa.
Isn't it good to be in a nation where you are free to praise the Lord? Hallelujah!
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is using the event to sign a new bill into law, banning abortions after 6 weeks in most cases. Willie James Inman, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Biden administration said Friday that tens of billions in school loan debt will be forgiven for more than 800,000 students enrolled in income-driven repayment plans.
It was just 2 weeks ago when the Supreme Court invalidated a separate debt relief program, and that's when the president said he would not give up.
I believe the court's decision to strike down my student debt relief program was a mistake, was wrong. I'm not going to stop fighting to deliver borrowers what they need.
Friday, the Department of Education began notifying borrowers their student loan debt will be forgiven. This new program will affect more than 800,000 borrowers with $39 billion in federal student loans. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The Screen Actors Guild went on strike Friday morning, joining the ongoing writer strike. This is the first time in 63 years that both unions have walked out at the same time. Ronald Reagan was head of the Actors Union at the time. Their concerns, higher pay and technology. CBS's Errol Barnett.
To strike!
With screenwriters and actors now both on strike, Hollywood is at a standstill.
We are the victims here.
SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher says studios are ignoring enormous shifts in the industry and in the economy.
You cannot change the business model as much as it has changed and not expect the contract to change too. What are we doing? Moving around furniture on the Titanic? It's crazy.
The union's main sticking points include limiting how artificial intelligence can be used, along with increased pay and residuals from streaming services, where SAG-AFTRA claims its members are missing out on millions.
We ought to protect the people who are kind of on the margins.
But the studios say streaming has affected their bottom line as well. In the first quarter of 2023, Disney streaming services, which include Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus, lost the company more than $1 billion.
There's a level of expectation that they have that is just not realistic. And they are adding to a set of challenges that this business is already facing.
The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, which bargains for Hollywood companies, says in a statement that the strike, quote, will lead to financial hardship for countless thousands of people who depend on the industry.
They plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right when giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. It is disgusting.
And one other note about why this fight over compensation is so crucial for so many in these unions. You have to earn a certain baseline of income to qualify for health care coverage. That's true under the SAG-AFTRA benefits. And for many middle class actors, this is about their livelihoods.
One note, SAG-AFTRA employees of CBS News work under a separate contract that are not affected by the strike. Now to the economy, as inflation cooled a bit to 3%. That's the lowest in more than 2 years. That's according to the U.S. Labor Department's Consumer Price Index. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger joined CBS Mornings to discuss what this means for folks at home.
Well, you'll probably notice that it's cheaper to fill up your car this year than last year. Food prices are down for a lot of items, though. Some of those shelf-steady items are still expensive, like potato chips. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's one component of the Consumer Price Index that is a little bit of a thorn in consumers' wallets, and that is rent. Mm. And we are seeing rents starting to come down in more recent data. But I think overall, this is good news for consumers. But for many Americans, prices are still high for a lot of the things they need all the time.
Even though the mood of consumers seems to have lifted a bit, their expectations for inflation over the next 5 years went up slightly to 3.1%. Coming up, NATO and Ukraine. That's next on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
I'm Allison Keyes. President Biden wrapped up his European trip this week, where the threat from Russia and support for Ukraine topped the agenda both with NATO and his meeting with the U.S.'s Nordic allies. CBS's Natalie Brand.
President Biden, visiting NATO's newest member, Finland, talked about the military alliance's unwavering support for Ukraine in its defense against Russia.
Our allies and partners around the world understand that this fight is not only a fight for the future of Ukraine, it's about sovereignty, security, and freedom itself.
The president meeting Thursday with Nordic leaders, including the Prime Minister of Sweden, which is also in the process of joining NATO.
This makes the world safer. It significantly increases the prospect that there is less likely to be war.
This week, President Biden and allies made clear that Ukraine has a pathway to NATO membership once the war is over.
No one can join NATO while a war is going on, where a NATO nation is being attacked, because that guarantees that we're in a war, and we're in a third world war.
In the meantime, the U.S. has promised a long-term security commitment. Ukraine's president emphasized the continued need.
You have to know that you spend this money for not just for fighting. You spend this money for our lives.
More now from CBS's Pamela Falk.
On the heels of the NATO summit in Lithuania, Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, will be at UN headquarters in New York on Monday and Tuesday, along with UK and France's foreign ministers, to speak to the Security Council about the war and to let the world know about human rights violations in Russia-occupied territory in Ukraine. Ukraine's president spoke this week about next steps.
We are already starting to prepare for the next NATO summit in Washington.
At the Vilnius summit, we have reached good agreements for Ukraine with almost all partners. We had a very good meeting with President Biden and his team. Now it is time to turn each such agreement into a concrete result. And when we put an end to this war by establishing Russia's defeat, respect and attention to Ukraine will be forever established in history.
But Ukraine is not the only hot spot in the world. This week, North and South Korea sat face to face at the UN as North Korea's Ambassador Kim Sung told the council that their test of an intercontinental ballistic missile was a legitimate exercise of the North's right to self-defense.
Our test fire of a new type of ICBM is a warranted exercise of the right to self-defense.
South Korea's UN Ambassador Wang Jun-kuk countered that argument.
Here I cannot help asking the question, how can an ICBM launch ever make neighboring countries feel safe?
And although it looked like there was no meeting of the minds, China's ambassador called for the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, which he said could escalate into further tension.
Pamela Falk, CBS News at the United Nations.
Now to Iceland, where tourists are hiking for hours to see lava shooting from a volcanic eruption.
Lava is still bursting from the ground in Iceland, unleashing a stunning spectacle after a volcanic eruption.
You see pictures, you think you know what it is, but you can get there and it doesn't feel real looking at it.
Some tourists are hiking up to 12 miles to see the awe-inspiring scene up close.
It's pretty incredible when you see it for the first time appearing in the distance.
It's the third volcanic eruption on the Reykjanes Peninsula in just 2 years and comes after scientists recorded more than 4,700 earthquakes in a matter of days.
We seem to have entered into a new eruptive cycle here in southwest Iceland. The peninsula hasn't been active in many, many centuries.
Streams of molten lava and clouds of gases are spewing from the site about 20 miles from Iceland's capital city of Reykjavik. Authorities are warning lava lovers to be careful of toxic air.
I didn't realize you could actually get this close, so that was a pretty big surprise. But it's amazing. Yeah, definitely a once-in-a-lifetime.
And for those looking to tick a volcanic venture off their bucket list in such a seismic hotspot, there's more where that came from. Tina Kraus, CBS News.
In Alaska, worries over the closure of two crucial crab seasons and the future of fishermen. KYES-TV's Georgina Fernandez.
And this is what we do. This is our livelihood.
Fishing runs through the Prout family's veins.
There's a big connection, not only for my father and our family, but there's something special about being on the water and being a Bering Sea crab fisherman.
In 2020, Gabriel Prout and his brother bought a boat and took out loans to buy fishing rights and part of a vessel.
There's a deep appreciation for what we do and the resource and the job and the work we put in.
Then October 10th, 2020 happened.
The closure of the 2022 snow crab for the first time ever, and the second closure of king crab has been nothing short of devastating for myself and our family.
The Department of Fish and Game closed both seasons due to low abundance levels in both species, including record lows for Bering Sea snow crabs.
The population abundance levels were the lowest we've ever seen, and below the state's harvest strategy for having a fishery.
Devastating news for Prout's livelihood.
We've had to make cuts to maintenance. We've had to make cuts to crew. Obviously, all these factors are impacting the safety and reliability of the vessels.
His family now relies on the income of their vessel tendering and transporting fish in Prince William Sound.
Typically, that's been something that has been extra revenue for us during the year. With the closures of the crab, though, it's something we're completely reliant on.
It's a struggle felt across the fleet.
So it really is questionable whether or not we're going to be able to find a path forward, not only for my family, but the fleet as a whole.
As Prout hopes and prays for disaster relief funds, or a season to open up soon.
In London, a visit to the Lost and Found for one of the world's largest public transportation networks and some of the interesting things that go missing.
Mind the gap.
If you leave something behind on one of London's trains or buses, there's a good chance it ends up here.
And we do process every item that comes within the Lost Property Department.
6,000 items a week are brought in and painstakingly documented, detailing what, when, and where they were lost.
So it's just suitcases all the way down the
wall. Suitcases and big bags.
There's things you'd expect. Yeah. Bikes, scooters.
So every envelope has a mobile phone.
And it's London, so lots of umbrellas. Then there's the unexpected. Musical instruments, diapers.
A wedding dress when I started. So we made up stories about the bride, whether she was jilted or she ran off.
Filomena Martino got her wallet back. All the money still inside.
The whole system, I think, is really good.
Only about 10% of these items will reunite with their owners, but the fact that they're here...
It gives faith in humankind.
...means that leaving something behind doesn't always equal the end of the line. Riley Carlson, CBS News, London.
Coming up in the Kaleidoscope with Allison Keys segment, the scary phenomenon of coercive control. That's next on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
Welcome to the Kaleidoscope with Allison Keys segment, where every week we discuss issues including income inequality. This time we're talking about coercive control, a form of domestic abuse involving threats, humiliation, or intimidation used to harm or punish their victim. Some experts say it's like being taken hostage. People are mostly aware of physical domestic abuse, where women, men, the elderly, and children are beaten by partners or their families. But earlier this week, there was a heartbreaking thread on Twitter over a celebrity controversy with millions of views, with women describing relationships where they were told what they could or could not wear, eat, read, or think. Some weren't allowed to speak, and it was couched as suggestions or advice, supposedly given with love. Author and social inequities and injustice professor Pragya Agrawal at Loughborough University in the UK sparked many replies with her own cautionary tale and joins us.
So what I posted was that the first time I held hands with my ex, my boyfriend, he actually said, oh, my hands were really rough. And he kindly suggested that I use and gave me tips on how I could make them softer. And that could have been a red flag immediately, but I was very much in like I really loved him or liked him at that stage. And then slowly it kind of escalated other things like what I could wear and not wear, what I look good and not, and things like I just want the best for you. That's often the case, that it's kind of couched in these, that I only want the best for you because I love you and because I really love how beautiful you are and I want you to look beautiful. So I'll give you suggestions on what to wear and what not to wear and how you could make your stomach flatter by doing sit-ups, which now when I say it and I think about it, you kind of realize, oh my God, I am shocked myself. But then at that time, you just don't realize that.
Talk to me about what coercive control is and why so many people don't know that this is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a bigger discussion around coercive control in the last few years, but I do think that still we don't know much about it. So we know, as you said before, we know about domestic abuse and we don't know about violence, but emotional control is not something we understand very well. And it's coercive control is a form of control where it's regulating other people's emotions, it's regulating other people's choices, it's regulating their actions. And slowly it becomes more it can escalate with threats, with withholding affection and love, with saying, if you don't do this, then I cannot love you anymore. And it's about controlling other people's action or monitoring other people's emotions, actions, the way they dress, the way they look, whether they wear makeup or not. So basically, it's kind of it's putting controls on choices, on your personal autonomy, and that is a form of coercive control. And obviously, there's a whole spectrum from things what I posted, and then slowly the control can grow more, and it can escalate even into physical violence in some cases.
And you posted some statistics about the 95% of the victims of this were women, and 74% of the perpetrators were cisgender men. But this is stuff that can happen from friends and family as well, right?
Absolutely. It can happen from friends and family. As I said, it's about controlling somebody else's bodily autonomy, but often, as I said, couching it in benevolence, that I care for you so much, or I love you so much. And it can come from family members in certain cultures more than others, but in every culture where there's control on where you can go out, what can you do, what can you read, how you can dress, how you behave, whether you can wear makeup or not, whether you keep your hair long or short, all those kind of things around your own autonomy can be restricted. And that can come from friends, as we saw in some of the examples on the thread as well.
Like the one woman who said her quote unquote friends said something like, "Oh, you're so lucky to be okay, not to be skinny like me." And the woman said, I didn't realize how much that hurt.
Yes, because I think it's about it kind of making you feel ashamed of yourself in some way, but again, saying it in a way that it's a form of microaggression, but also it's saying it in a way that you begin to doubt yourself, whether you are overreacting or whether you're just reading too much into the situation, and you can never put your finger on why it's making you uncomfortable for a very long time. And you can't articulate it to anybody because you can come across as somebody who's over emotional or overreacting or hysterical about it. I know people who've had this from friends and family in many different contexts.
You've said that part of this is about the expectations placed on women. What do you mean by that?
So looking at stats and data, yes, as I said, it can come from friends and family, but there is a large proportion of women who face coercive control more than men. And the data shows that some of the statistics show that 95% of people who faced this kind of emotional abuse or control are women from men in a lot of cases. The expectations that I'm talking about is that the kind of social conditioning or gender socialization that women and men go through, girls and boys, from a young age. And I write about that in my book, Hysterical, about how there's this notion that there are certain ways that femininity has to be portrayed and there are certain norms to be masculine. So femininity is associated with being nice, with being passive, with being self-sacrificing, with being not aggressive or assertive. And that's how sometimes girls are socialized, to be nice to others, to smile more, to not reply in a way that can come across as assertive, and to be polite. And that those are the expectations placed more on girls than boys. And that is very much a socialization situation. So when we grow up like that, when women grow up like that, they are less likely to be able to stand up for themselves. I don't think we teach, in many cases, people teach girls to how to be strong with their opinions, how to hold on to their views, how to counter any form of attack on their autonomy. And we're seeing attack on bodily autonomy around the world. And there are obviously intersectional elements to it. So women of color, Black and brown women, might face that much more than other people, or other marginalized backgrounds might face that more. I think it is also because when women stand up for themselves or say or express their opinions in a strong way, they are very quickly labeled aggressive or angry, which is again because it's seen that they are countering the normative feminine kind of attributes. And that can stop women from, and that can make women more prone or likely to encounter emotional control.
So I've got to ask you, I mean, in some cultures, to fight against that, the response can be deadly, right? If you're in Afghanistan or a place like that. But for those of us that don't live there, what should a woman do if she finds herself in the position of someone trying to control her like this? What do you suggest she do? Should she leave? Should she get some help?
Yeah, I think, first of all, we need to open up these conversations. And the more that we share, the more we share these experiences and talk openly about that, the more people would know and recognize the signs. I think often we don't talk about it openly because we internalize this shame and this guilt that there must be something wrong with me that I'm thinking like this, or there must be something wrong with me that my relationship is not working out the way it is. And so people don't talk about it openly. So I think the first step is to talk honestly and openly about it. Secondly, yes, talk to somebody, talk to a therapist, talk to there are various helplines now that you can talk to and call somebody, seek help from a qualified professional, seek help from friends and family in the first instance, if you can, somebody who's trustworthy. And then I think otherwise, broadly, I think more widely, societally, we need to think more about how we raise our girls, but also how we raise our boys. You know, that is really important.
I've got to ask you one more, because you had a lovely story about something you learned from your own daughter about women being more assertive. Can you tell us?
Yes. So my 7 year old, now is just turned 7. I've got twins. They are they're really active, and they're constantly doing headstands and cartwheels. And sometimes it drives me absolutely mad because they're constantly moving and I feel like I'm being seasick. So I was saying to her, please, can you not do so many headstands, because I don't like it. And she just replied to me saying, but I like doing it. You don't have to look at me. And I was suddenly taken aback, but I also felt this surge of pride that she could stand up for herself and could set boundaries for other people and didn't compromise on her joy, you know, because she got so much joy from it. And I think sometimes we are not brought up that way, because I think even when we raise children, parents can set very strict boundaries, and children don't learn how to navigate their own joy and how to navigate their own and set their own boundaries around their emotions and around their actions within a family situation as well. So it was really enlightening a moment to, and I hope that she can hold on to that, you know.
That was author and social inequities and injustice professor Pragya Agrawal at Loughborough University in the UK. Coming up, an artificial intelligence program giving voices back to the voiceless. That's next on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup,
I'm Allison Keyes. An employee at a Texas airport is being hailed as a hero for saving a human trafficking victim. It's a reminder for everyone to keep an eye out for those who are in desperate need of help.
It was a gut feeling from an airport employee that saved the life of a human trafficking victim. George Bush International Airport is a very busy place with a lot of moving parts and people.
See you later.
Like most airports in the world, there are eyes in the skies and on the ground watching to make sure everything is running smoothly.
We do monitor the airport perimeter, everything, doors, luggage.
Monica Phillips is an airport operations communicator. Her job is all about safety, being eyes and ears for the airport on the inside and outside.
When people Google the airport's phone number, we are it.
Phillips is used to answering phone calls as one of the first points of contact with Bush Airport. But a recent phone call she took was odd and stuck with her for days.
On the Memorial Day weekend, I got a call from a guy. He said, I'm missing my mother. She flew from Lubbock and she's going via Frankfurt and I haven't heard from her.
The first red flag for Phillips was how long it took for the person believed to be a trafficker to report their quote unquote mother missing. Days later, Phillips heard airport police over the radio describing a trespasser in Terminal A that didn't speak English.
I raced up here, it was right over here. I raced up here and sure enough, it was the lady that the guy had been looking for a week prior.
That 52-year-old woman was from an Eastern European country. She had been human trafficked to Texas by two men.
And I confirmed through my language app who she was. And because I had her name from when the son called me 10 days before, I knew that was her.
The victim was frightened in a place she's never seen before after escaping her traffickers.
She got away from her human trafficker And she hid in a bathroom for like 10 days in this airport.
For Phillips, the call from someone claiming to be the victim's son didn't sit well with her.
And to me, it raised a red flag. She had no luggage. She had no passport. She had no money. And I knew exactly that was the woman we were looking for.
And Phillips did what she was trained to do.
These people, they rely on somebody to help them. She couldn't help herself.
She stopped the case of human trafficking in its track, and what is far too common in airports.
If your life is in danger, I think we all do what we have to do to save ourselves, and that's what she did.
Giving the trafficking victim a new chance at life.
That's KHOTV's Gerald Harris. These days, many around the nation are doing whatever it takes to make ends meet. One Texas man is using his special talent to make sure his family is taken care of.
I'm not offering them something physical that they can take with them. I'm offering them a single moment. It's music, it's free.
It's those melodies that Douglas Hanson doesn't just do for enjoyment.
So I do this to make ends meet.
Not only for himself, but for his wife and five-year-old son.
I'm mainly doing this so I can put my wife through school. I think that's the right thing to do as a husband. I have one five-year-old. He's turning six next week, actually.
On top of that, Hanson is already working two jobs, one at Kabachi Ramen and the other at Tyler Music Academy, which he got by playing on this exact street corner, Broadway Avenue and Chimney Rock Drive. But he still struggles to make ends meet.
Favorite saying that I made up is when you're poor or when you're struggling, you get really good at whatever you put your mind to. You become the best at it.
He uses every red light as an opportunity to play a soulful sound.
I've got 1 minute to impress people most of the time. So if I don't impress people, then they're not even gonna, you know, tip a quarter if they have one. And I'm just grateful when people roll down their windows to listen.
And it's that hope.
Glad you enjoy it.
That keeps them going.
So, you know, it's the little things like that that make me happy and that make it not so horrible to be out here.
With the reminder that his family needs him.
Honestly, I just look at my Father's Day card. But when my case is open, like my son made me my first Father's Day card, and I just look at that, and I don't want to let him or my wife down. So that's what keeps me going.
Hanson will continue to do whatever it takes to help his family succeed.
That's KYTX-TV's Ashley French. Finally, in our continuing series, The Age of AI, some 5,000 people are diagnosed every year with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The deadly illness affects the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord, causing people to lose their ability to move and speak. CBS News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John LaPook explains how artificial intelligence is helping patients preserve their voices.
Hi, my name is Ryan, and this is my story of living with ALS.
46-year-old Brian Johnson talks to the world about his journey with ALS through TikToks, making the videos with his family and caregivers. He began recording them when he was still able to speak on his own.
I'm married for almost 18 years. I have five kids.
And nothing that is taken away makes me upset as losing my ability to speak.
But with the help of artificial intelligence, Johnson has been able to keep his ability to speak through a process called voice preservation.
Imagine having no way to communicate your wants or needs or your love. Voice preservation gives that back to us. This, in many ways, saved my life.
Can you understand me okay?
CBS News first covered voice preservation 7 years ago as ALS patients at Boston Children's Hospital recorded their voices for playback later when they lost their ability to speak. Since then, the technology has only improved.
In what way has AI impacted voice preservation?
It's allowing people to have to record fewer messages. The quality is far superior to what we were able to do in the early days.
We spoke with Johnson and his wife, Christy, through Zoom, allowing him to have some of the questions in advance since he has to type out all his answers in real time. The camera on his device tracks his eye movements so they function like a cursor.
What do you think of that technology?
I am amazed by it. The fact that I can sound kind of like me is a true gift to me and my family.
To me,
he's there. His voice is there. It's totally life-changing.
Voice preservation can cost more than $1,000, but there are nonprofits that can help.
I promise to learn to love you more beautifully each day.
On their 20th wedding anniversary, Johnson used the technology to repeat his wedding vows, continuing to communicate his love for her and for life. Dr. John LaPook, CBS News, New York.
That's it for the weekend roundup. Thanks for listening. We want to get your feedback. Send us your thoughts and story ideas to weekendroundup@cbsnews.com. As always, you can find the program online on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Sarah Fishman is the technical supervisor, and Alan Pang provides production assistance. Tara Lipinski is the executive producer. Have a great week. I'm Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.
We're in Rome to meet Pope Francis for a rare, wide-ranging interview.
Do you like when you are called the people's pope?
El Papa de la gente.
It is very important to talk about the future. You have called for a ceasefire. Can you help negotiate peace?
Join us for our special hour with His Holiness on CBS.
Pope Francis I, a CBS News primetime special. Tonight on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.